You must have been reading my notes or something, Carla. I told Jesse as you started talking and was talking, I said, that aligns with what I'm teaching. Exactly. So it was meant for you to leave your phone. But yeah, it God is so good. And he is a good, good father. He really is. Glory to God. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to jump right on in. We're going to dive right on into the word. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for being a mighty God. We thank you for being a good, good father. Hallelujah. We just praise you and we thank you. Thank you for the hedge of protection that you have around us and our families and our loved ones, Father. We thank you for being the God of us. We thank you for ordering our steps, Father God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Right now, Father, we bind every scheme, every attack, and every assignment the enemy has sent to come against us and our families and our loved ones this evening. We bind it and we lose your peace. We lose your protection and we lose your provision, Father. And we just thank you, Father, all of you and none of me. Speak through me what you would like for us to hear, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. But Carla, you were on it, girl, in alignment. And then with Patty's song, Good, Good Father, I'm like, yeah. And then you came like, yeah. So again, the message tonight for me is going to be taken from the book by Joyce Meyer, Let God Fight Your Battles. So that is what I'm basing it on, where I got the leading of the Holy Spirit with the message tonight. And it is, are you a dependent? Are you a dependent? We should be a dependent of God. We're going to start in 2 Chronicles 20 and 12. I have four different translations that I'm going to read. The first one, the New Living Translation. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. International Standard Version. Our God, you are going to push them, aren't you? We have no strength to face this vast multitude that has come against us, nor do we know what to do, except that our eyes are on you. I love that translation. New American Bible. Oh, our God, will you not bring judgment on them? We are powerless before this vast multitude that is coming against us. We ourselves do not know what to do. So our eyes are turned towards you. The God's Word translation. You're our God. Won't you judge them? We don't have the strength to face this large crowd that is attacking us. We don't know what to do. So we're looking to you. Glory to God. We are too prideful at times to admit that I need help, even to our Heavenly Father. We are too prideful to do that. We let pride get in the way of us asking for help when we need it. And that includes God. He already knows. He just wants us to come and talk to him. Just like with our own earthly children, We know. We may not know the full story, but we know. God knows the full story. We just want them to come to us. Why do we think God is any different? He's even better. He's a good, good father. Hallelujah. Jehoshaphat, he knew he needed help from God with this battle. He knew he could not do this on his own. He knew the battle was not his, but God. He set his eyes on God for help, for direction. We just allow pride to get in our way for asking for help when we don't have a clue on what we're doing. And then we mess things up. Jehoshaphat, he didn't have a clue, but he admitted that to God. He humbled himself before God. He humbled himself before our God. He knew that this was a matter, literally, of life or death. He knew that. And he didn't have a clue on what to do. But he looked to the Father. His eyes turned towards the Lord for direction. Because making the wrong move, the wrong decision, would have killed him and his army and everybody. It would have. We do not realize at times how our actions, decisions, etc., will have on our families, on us. It may not necessarily be life or death, but it could. But it could be a life-altering decision to someone. We mess things up trying to fight our battles, trying to fight battles that's not ours, when God said that it's his. We mess up by going ahead of God and not totally being dependent on him. We want to be so independent outside of God. Let God be God. Let God be concerned about that power bill, about that mortgage, etc. If you were led by him initially to purchase the home or move wherever you move, buy this or that, God will handle it. We have to humble ourselves and be dependent on him and lean on him. Just like our children that are still in our household, they are not concerned about that power bill. They are not concerned if when they walk in that there's food there. They are not concerned about that. We need to be like little children and not be concerned about that, long as we know that we're doing what we're supposed to do. We shouldn't be concerned about that. And I heard this pastor say years ago, she said, what God, and I've heard it other times, but my first time hearing it was from her. She said, what God ordains, he will maintain. So if God has ordained it, he will maintain it. This church, this building, because we're the church, but this building, this ministry that God spoke into pastor's heart, God ordained this, so God will maintain this. And we've said that several times. I know I have. I don't know why I'm saying this. Your tithes, that's between you and God. Whether or not you decide, we decide to give our tithes and our offerings into this ministry, God is still going to maintain this ministry. You giving your tithes and your offerings, that's between you and God. It's a heart issue. So don't say, I'm paying the church or I'm paying the pastors. No, sweetie. No, boo-boo. You are not paying the church. You are not paying the pastors. That's a relationship between you and God. It's a heart thing. Because God has asked us, and it's in his word, about giving our tithes and offerings. So what God ordains, he will maintain. When we do not know what to do, we need to keep our eyes on God. We need to have total dependency on him. Just like a child, just like a newborn baby. That's why they scream when they come into this world, probably because they left a comfort zone, and now they coming into this place and looking like, who are these people? But they're totally dependent. On their parents, to feed them, to bathe them, to clothe them, whatever. Why can't I be like that towards God? It's no different. We need to be totally dependent on him. We wear ourselves out trying to fight those ites that I discussed last time I talked. We wear ourselves out because the battle is not ours and we're not looking to God for help. Those ites, little disease ites, you know, I talked about stress ites, depression ites, rejection ites, all of that, trouble marriage ites, poverty ites, worried ites, wayward children ites, and whatever other kind of ites that may be in our lives, is causing us to become flustered, angry, frustrated, I'll get it out, and we lose our peace. Just total chaos and just total exhaustion. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. We become totally exhausted when we're trying to fight something that we're not supposed to be fighting. Totally exhausted. And we're not admitting that we don't have a clue of what we should do because we're too prideful to do that. We're too prideful to go to God, Lord, I don't have a clue on what I need to do right now. I need your help. I need your help. We need to do that. And when we're totally exhausted spiritually, mentally, and physically, that's when the enemy can swoop in. That's when we are vulnerable. Think about the vulture when it sees something dying. This was not in my notes. It circles until it completely dies because it's laying there kicking, you know, whatever. But it flies around it until it dies. Then it swoops in. Because while it still got a little life in it, a little breathing, it could fight back. Okay? So when it still got a little life in it, it could fight back. But that vulture, it flies around until it sees that whatever that is dead. So he can go swoop in and do whatever he wants, call in all his buddies. I'm just saying, let's not get there. We're vulnerable. We've lost our focus. We've took our eyes off God. We need to cry out just like Jehoshaphat did. Help me, Lord. Help me, God. I am totally dependent on you. I am looking for you to help me. I need help. I need direction. I do not know what to do. That's humbling to admit that. But that's what we have to do as Christians. We have to humble ourselves. And there are other times when we become exhausted. We're still vulnerable. But that's when, as a last resort, we finally surrender to God. But we're all worn out spiritually, mentally, and physically at that point. Then we surrender. So, Lord, I've done X, Y, and Z, and it ain't working. I need your help. Oh, okay. Let go and let God handle it. The battle is not ours. It's God. Are we dependent on him? Are we a dependent? Are we a dependent? Am I a dependent? John 15:5, it states, in the New International Version, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. No thing. Amplified, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is cut off from the vital union with me, you can do nothing. Contemporary English. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you stay joined to me and I stay joined to you, then you will produce lots of fruit. But you cannot do anything without me. We have to stay connected to the source. These lights could not work if it wasn't connected to a source. You have to be plugged in. And if we're not plugged in with God, we have no power. We have no power. Because our power comes from our source, and he's our source. Just like all these power plants out here, they're the sources for the power that's in this building. It's not one that's far from here, but it's a source for this building. If that power plant goes out, what's going to happen? The light's going to go out here. All the power is going to go out here. So if we're not connected to God, how do we expect to have any power? How do we expect to have any strength if we're not connected to our source? We can do no thing. Nothing. Anything. We have to realize that. We need to be totally dependent on God, have faith in him and trust him. We trust in things, the power plant, more than we do our God at times because we can see it. We trust, we come in here, turn the lights on. We trust when we get in our vehicles, either press the button or put the key in the ignition that it's going to come on like it should. We expect that to happen. We're trusting that that happens. I'm expecting when I get up to go to work, you know, from a bedroom to the office. I'll be mad that my Wi-Fi internet is going to be working so I don't have to go into the building. You know? I'm expecting that to be working. I trust that's going to be working. I trust my internet provider is going to be sending some vibes to my house or whatever it's why, whatever that stuff is called. I have no idea what those letters mean. MPBS and I don't know what that means. It need to give send some juice to my house and my internet will work, okay? That's all I know. Glory to God. But we trust those things. Why don't we trust our God? Amen. Pastor loved all his little gadgets, cooking gadgets and stuff. He loved gadgets. So what if they don't work? He plugs it in. He orders it. Plug it in. He expects it to work. He expects it to work. He's trusting that it works. Why can't we trust our God and his word like that? Because it works. Every single time it works. Glory to God. Hebrews 11 and 6, Amplified. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Glory to God. Joyce Meyer stated in her book that we are to lean on, rely on, and depend entirely on God, taking all of the weight of our problems and burdens off ourselves and putting it on him. She gave the analogy of a chair. And when I was reading that, Jesse had just walked into the room. And I was going to tell him about what I read, and he sat down in his chair in our bedroom. And I asked him, I said, what did you just do? And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, what did you just do? He said, I sat down. I said, yes, you did. I said, you put all your weight in that chair. Did you trust that chair? He said, yeah. You know, looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. Just a bit. And I said, well, why can't we trust God like that? Boom. Boom. He sat down in that chair. He blopped down in the chair. Trusting that chair was going to hold him up. No thought process. No thought.
Right.
He came in, faced his chair, turned around, and blopped down. I could have moved the chair. He wouldn't have known because he was expecting that chair to be there. But he's trusting the chair. When you all sat in these chairs here, when I sat in a chair, we trust that chair. We trust that chair. Joyce Meyer indicated that we have total dependence on a chair. She had total dependence on that chair for her to hold her when she blops down in it. She advised she took all of the weight off herself and put it all on that chair. Just like we did tonight. So we sat it. We're just free, right? We're just sitting there. We're comfortable. We're relaxed in the chair. Why can't we be that way with God? Why can't we just blop down and just trust him and just be, oh, just be relaxed. Like you get a real good massage and just be relaxed. Why can't we do that? Why can't we trust our God like we're doing this chair? Let's take all the weights of life we are carrying and put it on God. He can handle it. He can handle it. We believe, like I said, we believe and trust the lights, the vehicles. We believe and trust that our homes won't collapse while we're in it. We believe that it's going to perform as it should. Why can't we be like this with God? Why can't we be totally dependent on him? Why? Are we a dependent? Being dependent on God and admitting we do not know what to do does not make us incompetent, weak, or lacking skills. It doesn't. Jehoshaphat did not feel this way. It empowered him. He leaned on God early in the battle. We need to learn to lean on God early in the battle, and not when we're tired and worn out spiritually, physically, and mentally. We need to lean on him early in the battle. We need to look to him early in the battle. Glory to God. So we won't allow the enemy to slither his way into the situation. Glory to God. We've got to do better. We have got to do better. In her book, Joyce Meyer's book, and it was easier just to read from the book than type it out. She says, we often try to figure out things we have no business even touching with our minds.
That's right.
Okay, read that one more time. We often try to figure out things we have no business even touching with our minds. And we forfeit peace and joy by not giving God total control over our lives. Some things are simply too difficult for us to understand, but nothing is too hard for God. With our minds, she didn't even say anything about us doing something physically with our hands. That's just even thinking about it in our minds, causing us stress. And stress leads to a whole lot of sickness and disease. Stress starts here. So we're focusing and thinking about things that we have no business thinking about, because it's God's business. That's God's issue. Let him handle it. He knows the beginning from the end. Let him handle that. Let him handle that. Glory to God. Whew. Glory to God. And during this process, there could be a waiting period. Just like with Judah and Jehoshaphat, with Jehoshaphat. There could be a waiting period. We don't like to wait. 2 Chronicles 20:13, the New International Version. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood before the Lord. This was a period of waiting. We do not like to wait, like I said. We become so impatient, fidgety, when it doesn't come in the time frame that we think things should happen. Then we start making some bad decisions. We start to want to think about it on our own and try to go to plan B. We get this way with God, and this is when we try to do things in our own strength, and we get tired. We've got to wait on the Lord. If we're dependent on him, we can wait on him. Because children, they have to wait for their parents to cook a meal. They have to wait for their parents to take them shopping. They have to wait for their parents. They have to wait for their parents to do things for them, to drive them here or drive them there. They have to wait for their parents. We need to wait for our God, adults. We need to wait for our Father God. And I'm talking to myself. Hallelujah. Joyce Meyer mentioned, during the wait or standing, as Judah did, this is when we gain supernatural strength as well as physical strength to do what God will direct us to do. The wait is critical to the battle, to defeating the ites. While we wait, we must put our weights on the Lord. We must cast them, as it states in the scripture in 1 Peter 5 and 7, the Amplified Version. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Wait on his word, his command. The wait is one of the positions we must take and we will take in our walk. It's not if, it's just when. You will have to wait. Several times, you will have to wait. Glory to God. Joyce Meyer states, standing or waiting is still an action from God's perspective. It's a spiritual action. It's showing and telling God, I'm not going to do anything until you tell me.
That's right.
I ain't moving. I ain't doing nothing until you tell me. And this put us at peace in knowing that God's going to take care of this situation, that God will handle the ites that's trying to attack me and my family. And so we just sit back and we enjoy this life that God has given us while we wait on him, while we're standing on his word. As I stated, the waiting period is critical. When we wait or stand, we need to thank him for who he is. Cast out the doubt with the word. Resist the enemy. Remind him of his future. Do not allow him to talk to you by telling you his version of the outcome. Because we know every word that comes out of his mouth is a lie. He don't know how to tell the truth. It is a lie. It is a lie. Glory to God. Wait on the Lord. And as pastors talked about on Sunday, and it all aligned up. See, Carla, this is why what I said, what you said lined up. And then, Patty, the song aligned with this as well. Glory to God. Like pastors talked about on Sunday, praise is the key. Being skillful in not worrying. Disciplining our minds, okay? Stop thinking about the what ifs the enemy is feeding us. Because he loves feeding us what ifs. What ifs, what ifs, what ifs. He tried to feed that to me last night. I cast that down quickly. I thought about disciplining our minds. Glory to God. And as Pastor Sharon talked about Pastor Rock, get on that peace train. Get on that peace train. Buckle up. Get on that peace train. Glory to God. Praise God in advance. Create a lifestyle of praise of what pastors talked about on Sunday. A lifestyle of praise. Are you a dependent? Are you a dependent? Glory to God. Isaiah 40:31, the New International Version. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The New Living Translation. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And the Amplified Version. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They would lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising towards the sun. They would run and not become weary. They would walk and not grow tired. Imagine that feeling. Imagine that feeling when you're plugged into your source. When you're plugged into your source, which is God. When you're connected to that source. When you're a branch off that vine. Imagine that. That power. Mentally, physically, spiritually. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. While Judah was still standing and waiting before the Lord to give them direction, the Spirit of the Lord came upon someone in the camp, Jahaziel, and I probably just jacked up his name, Jahaziel. My bad, bruh. My bad. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, he spoke the word of God. Because they waited. They waited and they looked to God for help. And they were reminding God of who he is in this process, okay? They weren't just standing like this. Could we think of stages? No. They were doing something. They were praising God in that process, okay? So, and as they were praising God, then the word of God was spoken. The Spirit of the Lord came upon someone. And he said, and again, the 2 Chronicles 20:15. New International Version. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God. the Christian Standard Bible, and he said, "Listen carefully, all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast number." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paper sticking. "For the battle is not yours, but God." Contemporary English. Then Jehoshaphat said, I messed up his name again, "Your Majesty and everyone from Judah and Jerusalem, the Lord says that you do not need to be afraid and let this powerful army discourage you. God will fight on your side." The people were waiting to hear from God. They were expecting to hear from their father. They were waiting and standing and expecting to hear. They were being totally dependent on God. And God gave them a mighty word, telling them, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged of these ites coming against you. I got this. I got this. You don't have to be concerned about this. I got this. That's Wonder's version. Don't worry about these ites. I got this, is what God is saying. So don't worry about the ites. God got it. If you are dependent on him, if you are his dependent, are we being totally dependent on God and waiting on him while gaining strength to go forth when he tells us to move? Are we trusting him? Thank him for the answers in advance. Thank him for the directions in advance before it happens. The battle is not ours, but it's his. Tell God, I don't know what to do, so I am looking to you. Are you a dependent? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.